welcome to Life with a Girlfriend.
Life with a Girlfriend.
Or as Mom likes to say,
more life with a girlfriend.
We like to put more life into our life.
That's right.
In different ways, right? Because we're all different and we're all part of this beautiful bounty of life. And
we just like the word more.
We do. And we're Christine, Marie, and Julie.
Yes.
We're mother and daughter.
I'm the mom.
I'm the daughter.
So Christine Marie is the mom.
And we're certified law of attraction coaches, and Mom's a psychotherapist, and I'm a former teacher. And we're coaches, but mostly what we're here tonight is we'd love to do, and we'd love to, on a Sunday night, bring a little bit of entertainment, a little bit of joy, as we try to...
Into our lives,
yeah.
You know, screw you people. This is for us.
Exactly. It does wonderful for our relationship.
I was looking at some of my old texts, you know, text messages, and there was one several weeks ago, and I just said, "Where are you, Julie? I need therapy."
Yeah.
And okay. That's what Sunday nights are for us.
Sometimes it is. And sometimes it's just a way for us to kind of regroup from the week, pull out some stories, some ideas that have kind of a cool takeaway to kind of put more life into our lives.
Right, exactly.
And we hope to do it in a fun way, in an enjoyable way, because we know that if we do things in a fun, enjoyable way, we learn it more.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
I mean, remember in school, you know, it was just, if you had to remember it, it was like, oh, like pulling teeth.
I know. If I had a great teacher that was willing to dress up like Abraham Lincoln, I'd remember things more, you know? Mom's laughing.
Why I'm laughing?
Yes, I'll tell the Julieism, then we'll have a normism. But anyway, because we were playing word womp together, and if you're a pogo person, you know what word womp is. It's sort of like your anagrams.
You know, you get a bunch of letters, and you have to make 3, 4, and 5-letter words out of them.
Yes.
As fast as you can.
And the one where we didn't come up with was a bed. And I said...
A-B-E-D.
Yes.
Like you are...
Abed.
Asleep.
A bed.
You are a bed.
But when I first thought, I go, Abed. I was going to put Abed down. And you said,
I said, tell me, Julie, how you would use that in a sentence. I'm always teaching her, even though
I go, well,
she's a teacher herself.
You know, well, I just got Abed. I just got...
That's what she said. I just got Abed. And I go, could you please explain a little more? And she goes, yeah, I just
got shot.
Got shot in the head.
Just back. During a play, it was not good. Well, the play was so bad, I felt like I was aimed. I go, and I made it work.
And then she said, I just felt like I freed the slaves.
That's what you said.
Yeah, I know.
And I said, well, no, I wouldn't, you know. I know, I didn't feel like that because that would be hard, but I can feel like I'd be, you know. Sometimes I feel like, I just got shot.
So, that was Julie's Abed. And the other one that she didn't get, and she goes, oh, my gosh, a noose. I don't know. I was heading in that direction, but I don't know. What is a noose? I go, it's anus.
Oh, that's... I go, well, I know what anus is. And, you know, when you're in word womp, you just kind of, you let it all go. You know, it's just going phonetic. You're just like,
yeah, you gotta let it
and then you're just like, I have one word left, and I can't see it. I'm throwing, and I know it's between this word and this word. I'm just going to start throwing words up.
Yeah.
And then that
whole day, though, I was saying, like, oh, Julie, I've been in Washington, or I've been George.
You've been George. And I go, oh, did you cross the Delaware?
Yeah.
And you're like, no.
No, I kept on the cherry tree. Yeah. That's my dad, yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay, cool.
So that's why I laughed.
Yes. That's why you laughed.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about us, Julie.
Well, we're great people.
None better.
Right.
We're fine. We're fine people.
Right. I think I told you. Well, you can go to our website, ChristineMarieAndJulie.com.
And find out about us.
You can also go to theclutterflyeffect.com, purchase our book, The Clutterfly Effect, Tweak Your Way to Total Transformation by Decluttering Your Life.
It was an Amazon number one bestseller.
Yes, it was.
For about 24 hours.
Which is good enough for me.
Good enough to get that little seal of approval.
Exactly.
And you know, they can also get something free from us.
Yes, you can go to prosperitypostcards.com. And you put your little email in, what you end up getting is a daily audio prosperity postcard from us.
365 days worth of
give or
gems.
Take. Yeah, give or take. 2 to 3 minutes long. I think it's more than that, to be honest.
Is it really?
Yeah. But it's not a complete year and a half, but it's at least a year.
Yes.
But it's 2 to 3 minutes long, and we just each day talk about prosperity or talking about some uplifts. And to start your day on the right track.
Uplifts, prosperous. And see, the definition of prosper is to actually just have more than what you need.
Yes.
And that's why we like the word more.
Yes.
More life with the girlfriends, because we're here to prosper you in all ways.
And sometimes that means a shift in your perspective.
More than not. More often than not.
Right.
Because isn't that what Marianne Williamson says?
Yes.
That a miracle is merely a
shift in perspective.
Perception. Yeah.
Or perception or whatever
perception,
that is.
Perception, yeah.
And it's interesting because I was coaching someone, and we were coaching about prosperity, and she wanted to accumulate more money. We were working on this, and a lot of the ideas she came up with, you know, just roadblock. And I said, you know, why do you feel so bad? I mean, how much debt are you in anyway? Let's learn the basics so we can get a real natural plan going so that when the universe comes and gives you a supernatural result, you can feel good. I said, well, I'm not in any debt at all. I can't have debt.
And you went, wait,
what?
You've been bitching this whole time about...
And you work for the government that's going to give you a pension in 10 years? Hey, what? And I almost had to hang up on her.
Yeah.
Excuse me. You're not... I said, your reaction does not match what's really going on.
Yeah, isn't that true?
And I said, because you probably do have more than what you need, and if you want more... Because you need more, let's really work on that. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to work on it from a place of poverty and
no.
I'm not going to go there.
No.
This is just your. You know. And once I got to the root of it, I'm like, okay. She quickly turned down her negative thinking and her negative mm-hmm. voice, because she's like, Julie's not going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's right.
Oops, I got somebody saw through me. I saw my little routine here.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, give me some numbers. Well, no, mm-hmm. I don't have debt. I'm like. Mm-hmm. You don't have debt. I'm like, no.
It's kind of funny, though, but coaches are a little different than therapists. You know,
yes.
As a therapist, I probably would have gone, you know, okay, so let's talk about that more. But as a coach, you go, wait a minute. Let's knock this BS off.
Yes.
And get off the pity train.
And gratefully, I don't have to be a counselor because I don't have to help anybody in that respect, because... There are people, you know, people have different types of trauma, mm-hmm. different types of crisis,
mm-hmm.
and you know.
But when you're asked to be coach, you're not asking for
psychotherapy.
Not. You know,
you really are not. You're really going for I have this one issue.
Yeah, I want to go for the gusto.
I want to go for the gusto. Can you help me with these goals? This mindset. You know, people are coming to you because they mm-hmm. know that you believe a certain way mm-hmm. that they want to believe together. And when mm-hmm. you're together working on this. Magical things happen.
Yeah, and that's for sure.
Yeah, and so that's true. And yet, psychotherapy has its place, and it has a wonderful place. And
yes.
I remember
yes.
Dr. Drew said that he's been going to therapy off and on his whole adult mm-hmm. life, and he said it's mm-hmm. the one thing that I don't regret spending thousands upon thousands of dollars on.
Mm-hmm.
When you're going for 40 years.
Because, you know, you're really the good psychotherapy creates balance in you.
Yes.
It creates this healthier inner voice. You know, we all have those critical parents in our heads. You
right.
know,
that are, not me. I don't have it.
You got it in real life. No. But you know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And so to have that, you know, 45 or 50 minutes where you're just letting it all hang out, and, you know, nobody's going to say, oh, you shouldn't have said that. Well, that screwed the pooch, you know.
Right.
And that it does create balance. It creates a bit of time out for yourself, you
right.
know, especially when things are kind of in crisis. You know? So, yeah, good for Dr. Drew.
Right.
You know what I want to mm-hmm. do real quickly, though? Since you're talking about doctors, you know, last week we had a, we didn't have a best of show, but somebody recommended that we have a best of. Wouldn't know how to do that, but Dr. Wayne Dyer passed away.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to give, you know, props and kudos for the work. And I mean, I enjoyed everything he ever did. I remember his first book was like, it was the first self-help book I read. And this was like in the 70s. And I think it was called Pulling Your Own Strings. And I had never, I mean, my family was so dysfunctional. It wasn't funny. But after reading that, I was like, my eyes were opened, and pulling your own strings, you could actually, you know, figure out a way to heal yourself, you know? And I remember going to my brother, Steve, and I said, Steve, you got to read this book. It's like, it's amazing. It explains our family. It explains why everything's so messed up, you know. And he goes, and he looked at it for about a minute or two, and he goes, you know who needs to really read this? His mom and dad.
That's true, but
I'm not going to read it. I'm not the one that's messed up. But I just wanted to give a little shout out.
It's interesting because I feel the same way about Dr. Wayne Dyer. And it's funny where he hits me because I'm sure I've read some of his books. I mean, he's been around for so long, and I picked him up. And I think we've had some of his CDs and tapes.
Mm-hmm, right.
And then also seeing him and doing record some of his PBS specials.
Correct.
And I remember a couple times, and sometimes he rubs me the wrong way, when he does, it gets you going. One time, and this is not, he didn't rub me the wrong way this time, but he said, I never say I'm tired. I just don't ever say it. Even if I am, I don't say it. And I'm like, oh, aren't you good? Because sometimes I say I'm just tired.
That's kind of like, I know, and you understand, but we understand now, really,
yes,
why he would do that and why he would say that. But sometimes we just go, okay, let's just put this in parentheses and just say, God, I'm so tired tonight. Yes. I can't believe this.
I know it might be long attractioning it, and
I don't want to bring this into my life.
You know, about faith, and you know, I don't want, and your words are powerful, and I want to talk about that a little bit more in the show about how powerful our words are,
yes,
and how though we can kind of get into this. It's this law of attraction, faith kind of catch-22, and you're like, how do you stand in faith and stand however you're saying it, and speak with only what you want when the evidence around you doesn't feel that way. But one of the things after Wayne Dyer was talking about one time, and I had been going through a period in my life where I was experiencing the real physical manifestations of anxiety attacks. No doubt about it. Went to a hospital, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I know how it first started. I know what was going on. And once I really acknowledged it was an anxiety attack, everything fell into place. Mm-hmm. Like, I could then deal with it. Mm-hmm. I could soften it up. Once I realized I wasn't dying of a heart attack. Mm-hmm. And he mentioned, he goes, people give anxiety attacks way too much power, like they're actually a physical thing with physical symptoms. Yeah, and I'm like,
oh,
dude,
whoa.
I have had that.
Whoa.
And they're like really attacking you. And
he's a long-term meditator. I mean, he meditates for decades. I mean,
but it was just funny how he said that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, dude, you know. Yeah, and then I had to sit back with it. And the truth is, once though I determined that it was an anxiety attack, you know, and mm-hmm. I was able to work my way through them, such as when I had an episode coming on, I wasn't afraid. I wasn't afraid of it.
Right.
I could then smile my way through. You know, I had read that book, Happiness for No Reason, right? Mm-hmm. And in that book, I can't think of her name right now, who wrote
Marcy
it.
Marcy Shimoff.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a sweet book, just lots of little tidbits. Really, if I'm not mistakenly, I think I'm remembering it correctly. Had a lot of examples, a lot mm-hmm. of ideas, and mm-hmm. so forth. And in there, I think you're talking about smiling, and how just the act of smiling produces hormones in your body, which then helps with feeling better. Mm-hmm. And so I was crossing this one bridge to work every day, and going to a business that I was not doing well at was kind of just on its last legs. And you know, obviously, I couldn't cross the bridge, you know, traveling across Mississippi. And a couple times I'm like, I can't make across the bridge. Mm-hmm. I would call you.
You would call me, and I'd like.
Well, you got to get across the bridge.
Hold your hand while you were doing it.
I remember we developed that.
We would develop that cup game while you'd cross the bridge. It was like we'd give you a big jar of pennies.
Yes.
And then we'd put like a big tall Tupperware thing on
and
the floor.
Throw change in there.
And then you throw your change and see how many you can make while you're driving. That's no biggie.
But here it was. It didn't escape me the fact that I was throwing change. Like I'm wanting to change something. What's going on with me? And then I would also smile big. Sometimes mm-hmm. I would say that song. I want, you know, thank you from that, you know, 10,000 mm-hmm. Maniacs or mm-hmm. was it Natalie Merchant's solo act? I don't know which one it was,
mm-hmm.
but just saying thank you over and over again to that song, smiling that big, and then one day. The heart rate slowed down mm-hmm. before I even got to the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
One day, I didn't have to do it.
I remember you went to the doctor one time and you were, you know, describing symptoms and stuff. And you said to him, but, you know, I don't understand this. I'm going to a chiropractor. And he goes, this is a medical doctor. He said, what? I wouldn't take my cat to a chiropractor.
Yeah, I remember that. I know. What, was that for the anxiety, too? Maybe it was.
I don't know.
I don't know either. But it was interesting. I remember seeing the Transformers. Another change word?
I refuse to see that movie because of what's happened to you with
exactly.
that movie. That has bad mojo.
I went to Jordan with Doug, and we saw the Transformers. And we're leaving, and it basically at the drive-in, it's just not an appropriate movie for the drive-in because, I mean, yeah, maybe we just kind of hung out a little bit, maybe kissed a little bit, but maybe I close your ears, Mom.
Oh, okay.
Maybe we made out a little bit.
Okay. Close your ears.
Because the screen, I'm like, I don't know what I'm seeing. I'm seeing buildings turn into, you know, robots to turn into cars. I don't get this movie whatsoever. Just a big blob on the screen. And so I'm watching it, and then we're done. And then literally we're driving home, and my heart races like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this heat drive through my body. Mm-hmm. And this was the first time I felt different than the other anxiety or something. Maybe this was the first one.
Yeah, than the ones from the bridge.
I think so. And then I called the hospital. I called the emergency room saying, mm-hmm. hey,
I'm coming in
right now. I may be having a heart attack. And my blood pressure was 200 over,
it was
99. It was huge. And I said, am I dying right now? And they're like, you know, they gave me an EKG, and they did all the stuff. And then I left, and, oh, they asked me if I was being abused by my boyfriend.
Really?
Yeah, I guess that's something they have to say. They have to ask everybody.
They have to ask?
Yes. It didn't help the fact that I had burns on my legs because rope burns. Because I had Molly and Charlie, our old dog's rope, had gotten totally wrapped around my feet. And then they took off, and I got totally rope burned.
Oh, my God.
They're like, what's this? I go, oh, my dog did this to me.
Oh,
they're like, are you being abused by your boyfriend? I go, no, I'm not. Really, I'm not.
Well,
not
you know, in general you are, but not that way.
And so I just left with this one side paper on the info about an anxiety attack.
Oh, they gave you a pamphlet.
Gave me a pamphlet. I'm like, well, thank you.
Okay, here's your diagnosis.
Yeah.
Read this pamphlet.
And then I just started working it out.
Yeah.
Like, okay, what's really going on here? How can I be happier with the circumstance?
Really. We got into therapy.
Yes, with Mama. And you know what,
which some people might wonder about, I don't know, but it worked.
It worked. Well, it was interesting because I really didn't want to do medication.
No.
I had friends who had done it, and I'm
mm-hmm.
not against medication,
mm-hmm.
but I feel so weird on stuff anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I feel weird on cold medicine.
So you feel weird on aspirin.
I kind of do sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just feel weird.
Yeah.
I don't like
Your
not
body
feeling
is so
like
sensitive.
Myself. I just don't like not feeling like myself.
Right.
I'm not saying that I like myself that much, but at least I know what it feels
right.
like.
This is me.
This isn't me.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so, you know, all I can say is if anybody's experiencing it, you can get through it. And first off, believe it's temporary. It is just a temporary signal of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it says, hey, change situation. Sometimes it says change your perspective if you can't change your situation right away. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it means doing both. And I really do believe that renewing the mind. I mean, I can honestly say during that time, I was forced to renew and strengthen my mind, my soul, so I could focus on what was good and not what was troubling.
Right.
Because there were certainly a lot of good things going on in my life.
Mm-hmm. I think what's interesting about anxiety attacks is that they come for no rhyme or reason.
Right.
I mean, you could be having a perfectly... I remember when I had my very first one, it was like in the 70s, and we had just moved into the Chicago area from Litchfield. And my parents had come for a visit, which was fairly draining in and of itself. And they said goodbye and left. And I just went and just like sat down, and the house was very quiet. And then boom, like, what was this, you know? And so I remember that was my very first one.
After the incident, that's interesting.
Yes.
After, that's very interesting.
That's me, though, in a lot of ways.
Right.
I'm like kind of a, what would you call
contrarian.
It? Contrarian, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good word. Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know who else is contrarian? Doug. Oh, man.
But I'm not a kind of the contrarian that he is.
No, definitely not. No. Different. You're very different.
Well, actually, I'm more of a conscious contrarian.
That's right.
I understand my contrariness.
Exactly.
He's just a balls to the wall contrarian. You know?
Right. Anyway, I do want to talk today, maybe near the end, I want to talk about some of the entertainment that we went through this week that I want to share with everybody because it was so much fun. Like, I want to talk about the movie, I want to talk about the TV show Impastor that we love so much.
Impastor?
Uh-huh, and I want to talk about It Follows. But I also went first, because that was a scary movie that I just had
Julie,
messed me
I know.
Up.
I just don't understand the It Follows thing. I mean, it is somehow really, there's some kind of weird twist in your psyche that this movie has impacted you like
it
that.
It has. It has given my brain a problem to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll share that with everybody a little later. But I just want to say, I want to celebrate right now, or not celebrate, I just want to acknowledge to everybody who might know about, who kind of is on the edge, maybe that follows conspiracy, that maybe kind of follows end time thoughts, things like that. Because if
I know where you're going,
yes, if you've been touching those things in the news, however you get your news, you realize that, you know, it's during the season. It's a blood moon season, and it's the Shemitah season, and today represents the Shemitah.
That's
correct?
Right.
And
and Julie, what's a Shemitah?
Good question, Christine Marie. And I will do a very poor job, and so you can look up Reverend Kahn. Jonathan Kahn.
And he's not a reverend. He's a rabbi.
Rabbi, thank you, not reverend. Rabbi Kahn and Jonathan Kahn. Look up him. But what it's about is just a seven-year cycle. Mm-hmm. And we're at a seven-year cycle.
Which is a uber Shemitah.
Yes. And basically what it means is in the Bible it's a time when, like, debts are forgiven, money is transferred, and like a shaking the sheets goes on, as Mom would say.
Mm-hmm.
You say that a lot. You say shaking the sheets.
That's right.
And a lot of times, a lot of turmoil happens right on that date or really close to it.
Well, you can go back in history.
Right.
7 years ago from this date, 2008, the huge crash.
Right.
And everything just like what?
What just happened?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Go back seven more years. 2001, 9/11.
Yep.
What the F happened?
Right.
So you can just you can just go back into history, and you can keep going back, and like I think the last you talked about the blood moons was in the 1400s.
Well, they had the quadruple four moons.
Right.
I don't know what it's called. It's not that, but yes, it's been a long time since we've had these four blood moons happen. completely, you know, complete lunar eclipse happen. They're
an astrological thing, but they happen on Jewish holidays,
which has been very rare.
And that's what makes it uber,
uber scary. And if you're into the conspiracy thought, it's like bend over, kiss your tush, goodbye, because this is like going to be a crazy ride.
Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people are storing food, storing water. A lot of people, they don't know what this next thing is, again, is going to be. Is it going to be a banking thing? Is it going to be a terrorist thing? And some people think it's more than likely going to be an EMP.
Right.
And Julie, what's an EMP?
An electromagnetic pulse.
And what happens during that time?
Basically, it's like a nuclear bomb without the nuclear part. And so we lose all of our electrical stuff.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, and the grid goes down.
Right.
And if you believe in conspiracy thoughts, or even, then if the grid goes down, it doesn't come back up. And we're sent back 400 years in the past.
Well, that's not a conspiracy. I mean, isn't that, I mean, I've heard politicians talk on that.
Yeah.
That really happens. I mean.
Yes. I don't really, okay.
Did I screw you up?
No, not at all. Because I'm curious about this. Because on one hand, it sounds really scary, and I believe in World War Z, like, you know, in that movie World War Z, and they talk about, well, why did Israel build its wall and complete it so fast? Because they saw an email about zombies, and they had the 10th man, you know, theory, which is if 9 people in a room say it can't be zombies, the 10th person must say it has to be a zombie, and therefore must decide to behave like that, and that's why they built the wall, yada, yada, yada. Now, if you saw the movie World War Z, you get the reference. And so in our lives, you know, you can hear, you can really plug yourself in to scary parts of this, you know, Shemitah and what's coming or what should be happening now, which is financial collapse, food source down, you know, all this stuff. But here are my questions about the EMP that I don't know anything about. Because they talk about if our whole grid could go down.
Right.
All across the United States. And I'm like, well, I saw, you know, Ocean's 11.
Okay.
And they brought out a little EMP thing to take down the power in Vegas. And then in about 30 minutes, it came back up. So, I'm not saying it couldn't happen that our whole United States goes down. I mean, we've had times when the power grid's gone down. Remember that in New York, that whole eastern coast? It was like down for a week, wasn't it?
Well, I think...
And we survived.
But I think it's different, you know, just having the power go off. As opposed to what they're talking about.
But how do we know that wasn't an EMP that happened?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I mean, I guess because with an EMP, everything goes down. Like cars goes down.
Everything.
Everything electric will get somehow.
Everything gets fried. And the only like cars that'll work are the ones that don't have
pedal.
Like that what?
You pedal.
Yeah. It's a Fred Flintstone mobile.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't have, like, any kind of, a transistor in it or some kind of a ignition, you know, that some kind of a, those things go down.
Right.
Like we said that our 1960 MG would still run because it's...
Right. Is that true, though, or did we say that's not true anymore?
I think Dad said it might not be true.
Because we've updated certain things and so forth.
Right.
Yeah. So that wasn't smart of us.
Dang.
But
you're right, Jill. It's going to be the pedal mobile. It's going to be the Fred Flintstone.
Exactly.
But things like, for example, here, we're on, our water is, are we in a well or what are we? Like, they have to clean the water here and our water.
We have our own water system.
Yeah, but that would go down because it's electrical.
Right.
You know, so things, you know, no trucks would run, so you couldn't, you know, the food couldn't get to the stores.
But I don't know how far it would reach. That's the only thing I don't know. If an EMP happened, how far would it go? Would it, if it affected America, why wouldn't it affect the United States? Why wouldn't it affect Canada?
Well, it might.
And why wouldn't it affect, you know, Mexico? I mean,
it might.
It might. Mm-hmm. So those things I've given up worrying about because it's just such an overwhelming concept that's like, you know what, it's good to have a little food on hand.
It is.
And we eat.
Why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
We have water on hand, too. Do we have a year's worth? No.
But it would be. But it's not right for people because there are certain people on TV that are just downright scaring the poop out of everybody.
Well, and it's nothing that we can really do anything about. I mean, we can prepare, but unless you decide that you're going to really prepare, live off the grid now, how really can you prepare?
You gotta put your big girl panties on and man up.
And say, you know what, I'm trusting, I've got my faith, and that's what's going to lead me. And
you got your 6 months of food.
Yep.
You got some water.
Yep.
You got, we don't have any guns, unfortunately.
No. But or fortunately, depending on. But we do live near a lake.
We have a doggy.
That will not help us one bit.
He'll kiss you on the nose.
Exactly.
That's what he does.
So I'm just, but I want to say this, though. I mean, I think we've already gone through, I mean, if this is the Shemitah year, I think that we've been through turmoil already. I mean, we've seen the stock market went down 1,000 points, went down 500 points. We have the Greece thing still going on. We have, ISIS still going on. There's a lot of turmoil, huge turmoil going on right now on the planet.
Right.
That I think would constitute, hey, there's a lot of shaking up going on.
Right.
And we're going to get I'm prophesizing we're going to get through it. And here's the thing I want to say. I want to get through it. This is the only thing I don't like about people who are really preaching conspiracy theories. Or whatever you want to call it. I'm just calling it that easy.
Is I would call it end time.
End time talk. Theory. Yeah, thank you. Is that they just seem to get off on anything bad happening. Saying, see, I told you. See, I told you. You know, we got 7 billion people on the planet, right?
Well, not only that, but
that's,
you know,
that's
now
happening.
That we have 24-hour news or,
oh,
you know,
for
that
heaven's
you
sakes.
Can, you know, find out anything. There's always going to be something, right?
No.
And also, you know, just this idea of earthquakes, people monitor those. And
yeah.
And then, oh, my God, now the end is near, Chicken Little, you know. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. I just prefer.
And we have no, I have no control over that.
No. But here's the thing. Here's what you do. You protect yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, like you have some food on hand, like you
right.
said. Have
we
some
live in
water.
A place where we can do that. Thank God we live in a place where we are allowed to have a little extra food. I mean, there are places in this world where you eat day by day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I feel blessed by that.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Right. Well, that's true. I mean, if I go that route, then I'm not trusting or having faith at all.
Cheer up, girlfriend. Cheer up.
Okay, I'm going to change. I just want to say we acknowledge that this is that day, and that we anticipate that everything's going to be okay. And I want to say this about the stock market, because for whatever reason, that's like our indicator.
Yeah.
Oh, for heaven's sakes! I was reading in. I went to the bank, and I was reading in their quarterly report. Which, you know, kind of funny. But I was enjoying it. It was really thoughtful and really smart. But they said that, for example, the 20 highest days came within 2 weeks of the 20 lowest days in the stock market.
Mm-hmm. I found that fascinating, by the way.
And if you put in $10,000 in 1995, let's say June 1st, and you took it out, you know, a basic S&P fund, you know, and you took it out 2015, June 1st, it would have turned into $78,000 if you didn't add one more dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you took it out and put it back in.
Like, took it out and at the lowest? Or
and then missed these high ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it showed you how many less thousands of dollars you'd have.
Uh-huh.
And I just thought, oh, you know what? Thank you for bringing a little bit of clarity to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't confess to know about the stock market, because the more technology-based we get, the more crazy it sounds, because people are literally trying to,
Within seconds.
Yeah, trying to, you know, hook up, have their wires and their computer shorter, mm-hmm. so that their stock goes in first. Mm-hmm. You know, making money by pennies, and yeah. I don't get it.
It just doesn't seem true anymore.
Yeah. It doesn't seem based on any real.
Yeah. It's not real. It's not based on like good old Campbell's soup.
Right.
Or good old something, you know.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
And so I don't confess to know as much as I should know, or choose to know, because it just feels crazy. And you know, one of the big losses they talked about, in the, you know, 1,000-point loss, they were saying that had to happen because people who still were doing stocks on margin needed to clear, you know, come clean with that, and the sheep needed to be shaken out. They needed to come clean. And I'm thinking, I thought they couldn't do that anymore. I thought you couldn't buy stock on margin.
Right. Yeah, I didn't think you could either.
That's where I'm at. So you could borrow and get that and all that stuff. And so, you know, it's okay to have these things come.
But you think about, you know, 7 years ago, you know, the last Shmita.
Yeah.
Think about what happened to the housing market.
Yes.
My gosh. I mean, people found themselves underwater.
Yeah.
Literally, you know,
I mean,
these cycles are true.
Yes.
Whether you're, because Rabbi Jonathan Kahn sees it, these things as biblical things, but a lot of people in, like you said, in the stock market, in the real estate market, see these things as, you know, just
that cycle.
A real cycle. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because I saw a movie this weekend with Doug, Mad Max, Fury Road.
Mm.
And
was it good?
It was visually uncomfortable. And the story was interesting. I thought that the plot line was fascinating because what you saw in the commercials did not represent the plot line.
Hmm.
That was interesting. And it literally all took place on the road. That was it. Hence the title, Fury Road.
Mm-hmm.
Wild, desolate desert. Yada yada. It was just visually disturbing.
Did it take place like in Australia?
I don't know if they filmed it in Australia or Africa. I can't remember, but they did film it in a vast desert. I do know that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is definitely post-apocalyptic. That's it. Post-apocalyptic. And
Anus.
Yeah.
A noose. Abed.
Yeah. Anus. and so I don't know if I want to live in that world. I think I may just say, hey, I'm just going to not look for food.
Yeah, let's not store food.
Let nature take its course.
Yeah, exactly.
I really don't know if I need to be here for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my spirit will definitely grow and soar someplace else.
You mean like it's like after a nuclear war?
After the world basically dies, and we're still trying to.
Mm-hmm. And people are crazy.
Some people are very crazy, and some people are.
Are there any zombies?
No, but they're zombie-like. Because
in a post-apocalyptic world, there are no zombies.
No.
Not this
version.
Like Julie's like, Mom, Sunday night, my favorite night of the week, Mom. Why?
Fear of the Walking Dead.
That's right.
Well, and in a few more weeks, I'll be at The Walking Dead. I know. It's just a fun little night. What am I going to do?
It's your favorite night of the week.
Yes. So anyway, I can suggest watching it because it was very intense. And if you like intense movies, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a type of person who doesn't like intense movies, I mean, I think it was under 2 hours long.
Mm.
And I
don't like intense.
Then this is not for you.
Right.
I mean, it was right off the bat intense.
I need to have comedy. I need to have some laughter.
And so I want to kind of shift gears again before we talk about this idea. I was reading Tony Robbins' workbook I have, and his workbook I was reading it. And one quote he has in there, which I love, that I've been kind of marinating my days with because it just kind of stuck to me a little bit, was this thought was, it's not what we can do, but what we will do.
Oh, yes.
That makes a difference in our lives.
Right. Yeah, I remember you telling me that.
And I know I've read that quote 100 times before, but I never got it.
It kind of landed differently.
Landed differently.
Time.
Doesn't that happen to you sometimes?
Oh, you bet.
When you read something that you love and you pick it up and you're like, wait a minute.
Like, how? Yeah, where? What did I? What happened in my brain that I was able to get it
How'd
deeper?
You renew it? Yes. Yeah. How'd you renew it and get deeper? And, you know, and talking about this, I was thinking about Doug.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to use him as an example.
He doesn't listen to the show.
I asked him about that, too. I go, how come you don't listen to my show? And he goes, I don't even know how to get to it. I go, what?
I don't even know.
Do you have one, really? I don't know.
I don't care.
That's it, really. Isn't it football night? Yes, it's Sunday night football. Just watch the damn game, okay? Yay, fantasy football. Woohoo. That started this week. And my quarterback, I know I'm shifting gears. My quarterback is Tony Romo. I got him for my quarterback.
Mm.
I let the computer pick. I'm okay with it because I know him.
Mm-hmm.
Dad, on the other hand,
Normano.
Peyton
Manning.
Love him. And then my backup quarterback is Cutler.
Yeah.
Which I'm a Bears fan, and he did not perform. He performed better than the stats suggest today, people. Mm-hmm. But
you should say this afternoon when you were telling me about your football.
And I was with friends watching the game, Doug and his family, and you're like, well, was it a fantasy game you were watching?
Yeah.
And
that literally
came out of your mouth.
Yes.
Those words, was it a fantasy game you were watching? I said, yes, it was. It was a fantasy game that I was watching. I said, no, it wasn't a fantasy
they
game that
just
I was watching.
Disney characters.
Yes. It was a real football game. And
then
that,
where does the word fantasy come in?
Well,
where's the fantasy?
The fantasy is if you were able to design your own team, these are the players that you would pick for these. This is your fantasy team.
Yeah, but that's not true. Every time I've been on a team, I never got to pick who I really wanted.
Well, you get to pick. You did, like, you had Adrian Peterson last year.
Right.
He was a number one pick. That was a good pick.
Yeah.
I happen to get him this year.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I have him on my team this year. The computer picked him for me.
Right.
Yeah, he had some difficult times. That last year with, you know, child abuse allegations and all this stuff. And
some fantasy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, you just, I feel bad because sometimes you go, I know this is a violent sport. These men have had concussions. Mm-hmm. We pay them to be violent towards each other.
Well, then
we have this end result of sometimes they abuse people. And I'm like,
yeah.
Are we surprised?
Yeah.
No.
They're just full of testosterone.
Yeah.
I think the reason most men play fantasy football is that they pick their teams at Hooters.
Well, it's funny because Doug did. Now,
every year they go to Hooters and pick their fantasy teams.
Well, it's funny because he said this is the last they're doing it. He just said the age difference just felt wrong this year. He said we go and literally they look like our daughters.
Yeah.
And it just, he goes, it's
like a big ooh factor.
Yeah, he goes, it just was wrong. And they never asked us if we wanted food. And so they never ordered food. And they're supposed to, and they used to get free. The reason why people go to Hooters to do their fantasy football league is that they get free wings.
Right.
That's what they say. They get free wings.
Right.
But they've changed the, at least in Rockford, they've changed that now. They don't get free rings, free wings.
Say that 10 times.
Exactly. But he just said, I just started feeling really uncomfortable. I go, really? Now? Finally? Thank God. I've been thinking it's been looking a little weird for several years.
Yeah.
But, oh, well.
You know, speaking of being uncomfortable, Normano had a little Walmart incident this week.
Mm-hmm.
I would classify it an awkward bathroom moment.
Oh, do tell.
So he had to go to...
I'm really curious.
...the bathroom in Walmart, number one. Exactly. And so he said he's in there, and he's by himself, and they have urinals in there. And in walks this little kid. He's probably about 5 or 6, he says. And he goes to the short urinal and, you know, and does number one. And then he goes over to the sinks. And Dad said he's, like, splashing around the water, playing with the soaps. And and just kind of just making a mess, basically.
Yeah.
And so Norm goes over and washes his hands, and by this time the kid is like taking the towels, and he's just rolling them and rolling
them. Paper towels, okay.
Paper towels, yeah. And so Norm hits the knob for the blow dryer to dry his hands, and it doesn't work. And the kid goes, yeah, see, you know, 9 out of 10 times, you know, this thing doesn't work. And so Norm goes, yeah, kid, you got the right idea with all those paper towels. And so Norm starts, you know, going over there to the, you know, unrolling some paper towels. And so they both leave together. The kid goes out first. Norm's following behind him. And as he opens the door, the mom is waiting for the kid. And the kid walks out and goes to his mom, hey, this fellow behind me, he's a nice guy. And Norm was like, what? Why would it?
And he's a good guy.
Yeah. I just said, hey, kid, you get the right idea. You know? And so he was telling me how awkward he felt by having that happen. I just laughed out loud. I thought it was funny as hell.
Well, it is funny as hell because...
Do you remember when Gregory was teaching his first day of school, and you know everybody was like, oh my God, you know, you can't, you know, these kids will. And one of the kids in second grade came to him and had her cell phone and said, want to see a picture of my mom? And and he looked up and there she is in her nightgown or something. Or like, and he went, I quit.
Yeah,
I
cannot, awkward.
I cannot
well, and
teach.
It's also hard because Gregory looks like Tom Cruise.
Yes.
And so, you know, every kid, I think everybody was like, oh, he's a cutie.
Yeah. Maybe you'll date my mom.
Yeah. My mom's single and divorced. How's this picture of my mom looking?
Yeah. I got more pictures.
Well, it's so funny because things just sound different now when you hear it through the eyes of having to police yourself.
Yes.
And when you police yourself, everything, nothing sounds fun or enjoyable.
Right, I know.
But Gregory was telling me, because his wife's a doctor, and they do this thing now, like when one of the kids gets hurt, they want you to take a picture of their owie and then send it to the mom so that they know, she knows they'll care. You know? So one of his daughters hit her head on like the bedpost, you know, just really, really light, you know, and she's like crying her eyes out, you know, like little girls do, and she's like, Daddy, take a picture of me and send it to mommy, and then he does, and he wasn't good. He looked at it and realizes, oh my gosh, I have a picture of my daughter,
yeah,
crying. She's like 4 years old, crying, and she, you know. She's, you know, she just has her underwear on. She doesn't, you know, and she's like, oh my God, I can't send this to my wife because now I had to police myself.
Yeah, now it's just like, and you were telling me just like this one woman who she was telling a story about how her dad would take them camping every year and they'd throw all the kids in the back of the van.
Oh yeah,
and then there was no seats or anything. You just like. Got in the back of the van, it's a panel van.
Yeah.
And then he'd stop and he'd buy a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
And then you'd head down these bumpy roads. And it was just like, yeah, that's what you did.
And that's
yeah,
it,
and
that's,
you liked it.
And we liked
and
it.
And you liked it.
And that's what you and Dad used to do to us. And we survived.
Yeah.
But nowadays, literally,
you
get
have to have
over.
Helmets. You have to have
yes.
inside helmets and outside helmets.
I believe we're safer, but certainly we're policing ourselves because we're all afraid now of doing anything that might be slightly taken
mm-hmm.
for the wrong way.
I know.
And so I feel sorry for parents sometimes. Because,
I do too.
Especially the ones who try so hard.
Yeah.
Because their stomachs must just be in knots.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do this, I can't do that.
You can't do anything right.
Can't do anything right.
Yeah.
You know, we only have about 6 minutes left.
Really?
I know the show has gone by so fast.
Yes.
So I want to talk about one more thing about this. It's not what we can do, but what we will do.
Yes.
That makes a difference in our
yes,
lives.
Yes. Thank you, Tony Robbins.
Yes. I'm sure we all have examples of our own lives when we know we can do a lot of stuff that would make our lives better. But what are we really willing to do?
What will we do?
And I'm going to take Doug as an example because he's just easy and he's not listening to the show. So
mm-hmm.
here we go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wants to start this new business, an additional business, and he, you know, we've talked about this, and he would like to do it with cash and not borrow money. So he's getting an additional like 60 grand, you know, something like that. Maybe a little less if he really tries hard and watches every penny. And we have, you know, we have a formula for him right now. We've talked about it, where he could really cut corners, get rid of a couple employees that that literally are not doing anything anyway. They're like just coming in. They're like, you know, whatever.
They don't even lock the door.
They lock a door when they're in the bathroom and they're working. But when they're not working and they're supposed to be going home, the door is open, yada, yada, yada. And I just said, you know, we talked about this. And I'm like, you know, if you did this, this, and this, and this, you'd be saving $2,000 a month. And if you then didn't do this, this, and this, and this, you'd be saving another $2,000 a month. I mean, you really could save between $3,000 and $4,000 a month if you really chose to do this path. And one is because he rents a house right now, and he owns two other homes. Long story, but anyway, you know, his mom is not doing well and could use, you know, she's actually asked for him to come live with her, you know, and to be there at night for her. I mean, his sisters take care of him in the daytime and are there at nights as well. But she kind of wants a man there. And so he knows he can live there for free and do all this stuff. And he has this right in front of him, an easy path that wouldn't cause harm to anybody. I mean, I even say with the employees, I mean, you know, these employees, like I say, they're probably not going to be there very long anyway. Mm-hmm. So instead of finding someone new, just take over, do mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. And yet he doesn't. He goes to that point where he's mm-hmm. almost willing to do it, mm-hmm. but he can't get there. Mm-mm. He knows he can do it, but he's almost willing, but he just can't. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this, and there are things in my life where I'm almost willing to do it, but just can't. Mm-hmm. Even with health issues, you know, it's sort of like, am I willing to do this, this, and this? Well, I can do this and this and this. But am I really willing to commit mm-hmm. to doing this for my health?
So what's the quote again? It's not what you can do. It's what you.
It's not what. It's not
do.
What we can do, but what we will do.
Okay,
that
will,
makes
we will
the difference
do.
In
right.
our lives.
Right.
And if those are in sync, if you are willing to do what you can, mm-hmm. you could move mountains.
Right.
Even if it was one piece at a time, but there's so many of us that, and I know that
I like
Tony
that
Robbins,
other one.
Yeah.
Is that the Tony Robbins one? I love the one that said, "If you don't, you know, if you don't make your habits will make you."
Creflo said that.
Creflo, I just love that one.
He says
that has
you
a greater
make,
impact
yeah,
on me.
Yeah, you make your habits, and your habits make you.
Right.
And that's all our lives are about, is habits. Yeah. They, you know, Tim Ferriss said this. Don't worry so much about finding yourself. Worry about, or you know, be content with creating yourself.
Yes.
Day in, day out.
Day in, day
decision
out.
Decision by decision.
Right.
Habit by habit.
Right.
And that goes along with Sir John Templeton when he says, 10 years from now, if you do this, you will be someone completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Robbins says too, any financial dream that you have can be accomplished within 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Any, no matter how big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just
if you will do it,
if you're willing to do what will,
and if you're willing to create a habit of
yes.
doing it, you know,
exactly.
I know my friend, just my one friend, Marcia. She just has always had a habit of like walking 2 miles a day,
yeah,
and meditating every day.
Yeah.
No matter what's going on, no matter what she's got, she has that scratched out, and she doesn't change from that, doesn't veer from that. Now, that's cool.
That's cool.
That's a cool habit. That's cool.
Yeah. I have a habit of loving you, girlfriend. And that's a habit I can't break.
I can't quit you.
I can't break that habit. I'm gonna need a 28-day program for that.
Hi, I'm Julie, and I can't quit you.
Hi, Julie. And I love my mom.
Mom.
And I like my mom, too. And you like her, too, if you met her. Yeah. You'd know why I was here.
That's right.
She's pretty. So I just want to say say thank you for everybody listening to our show or
yes.
at the end of our show. And I'm going to say one quote that Christine said, too. It's in our book, actually, The Clutterfly Effect.
You're going to quote me?
I'm going to quote you.
Okay.
Because the one thing Tony Robbins talks about is that the pain-pleasure
oh,
principle.
Yes.
We're willing to avoid pain at any cost, even if by avoiding that we miss out on the pleasure. And you always say, let the pain push you until the pleasure can grab you and pull you towards your vision. Oh, no, that's not it.
I'm almost peeing my pants right now.
That's not it. No,
that's up.
Time out before we end the show.
Okay.
Let the pain push you until your vision pulls you.
Thank you.
That's a quote. You can go to ChristineMarieAngeli.com. And, hey, we love you guys.
And ProsperityPostcards.com.
Yes.
You know what, Julie? I love you, and it was great.
It was great.